About that. I had such fine speakers there while I was away. But anyway, if you want to open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and then right away someone's going to say, oh, you told me we were done with the series. Well, we were. But then in my Bible reading, I said, you know, I just want to read that again. And I read through and I came to 12 and I said, oh, why? How did I miss that? There's another nugget in here of gold that I want to share with you today. And so Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and turn on the microphone, Pastor. All right. There, we're on. Okay, so Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Good job, sound man. So, in Ecclesiastes 12, the title of the message today is Redeeming the Time. Redeeming the Time. This is one that we need to be reminded of because have you ever noticed how time just flies? And it's just, where did the time go? And some people seem to get so much more done in their time. And it's like, I don't have enough time to do this. But you know what I found out? That everybody has the same amount of time every day. And so we need to be able to be redeeming the time. And as I looked up that word, I came across some very interesting things. But we'll get to that in a minute. But we're going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. And then I'm going to jump down to verses 12 through 14. So if you'll follow along with me as I read, go ahead and grab a Bible. There should be one in each pew if you don't have one with you. But at Faith Baptist Church, we want to use our Bibles. All right. Ecclesiastes 12, 1 says, remember now thy Creator. In the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now verse 12. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end. And much studying is a weariness of the flesh. Now, that sure goes without saying. But as we go on, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, there's a saying there in verse 1 that I want you to underline, and it's a three-letter word. It's N-O-W. Who can tell me what N-O-W spells? Now. What does the word now mean? Well, you know how this is, because God says, remember now. If you're in the house and your mother says, Johnny, I want you to take out the trash. To Johnny, that message might mean in the next part of your lifetime, take out the trash. So mother has to specify the conditions. Johnny, take out the trash now. You ever heard that? My name's not Johnny. That's what I thought. But have you ever heard your mother say, now? What does it mean now? That, yes. Right away. Boy, he knows what now means. And here God says, remember right away thy Creator and the days of thy youth. Oh, my. As I thought about this, I realized that there's a lot of people that are wasting their lives. We've got a lot of things to do. And what's really important? Where are my priorities? Those are all things to think about. But there's a warning here. It says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil day come not. You know what? It sure is a nice day today, isn't it?
yesterday it was dirt-filled and windy. The day before that it was windy and dirt-filled. And now it's cloudy out there, and I'm hoping that brings some moisture. What about you? But you know, God has given us today to use. Now, I know a lot of Christians say, I'm busy today, but tomorrow I'm going to do something for God. You know, the devil says, way to go. I am so proud of you for going to do something for God tomorrow. Just don't do it today. And God is saying, wait a minute, you need to do that today. Tomorrow never comes. You ever heard that saying? It is so true. Because tomorrow, what is it? Tomorrow is today. And so you've got to use your time today. So remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And so when it says the days of our youth, you know, that's talking particularly to the youth, right? But also to the aging. You know, you're only getting, I was going to say that we're all getting older, but then I probably would have someone get upset with me. Well, you know, we all are in our youth at some stage. We need to use it for the Lord. And I put down here, the opportunity to do certain things for God will have passed us by if we don't use the time God has given us now. Don't be guilty of missing or wasting opportunities. Have you ever noticed, and have you ever heard the saying, opportunity only knocks once? Opportunity only knocks once. Well, sometimes it does knock more than once, but you don't want to miss those opportunities. You don't want to be guilty of that. So you need to consider each day as a gift of God, use it to its fullest, and redeem the time. It's interesting here in verse 12 that we read, and further by these, my son, be admonished. In other words, let me explain something. You need to remember your Creator now, but let me encourage you even further. Let me encourage and admonish you. In other words, what's it mean to admonish? Well, admonish is when someone that has some experience in a matter comes up to you and encourages you and challenges you to better yourself and accomplish something. He's admonishing you to get a task done or to do something. It's nice when someone admonishes you in a caring way. Here we have a very wise person, and he's admonishing him, and here's what he says. Of making him many books, there is no end. He said, I could sit here and write books on wisdom and on serving God. And I could write books, and I could write another book, and I could write another book. But then he goes on here, he says, and much studying is a weariness of the flesh. And I go like, amen. How many of you guys like to read? Okay, very good. You know, in a general crowd, most guys don't like to read. Matter of fact, when I talk to most guys, they say if they sit still very long, they fall asleep. If they try to read, they fall asleep. And you know what? It takes work to read and to study. It's a weariness, here he says, of the flesh. So he said, I could write books all day long. You could sit there and read books all day long until you're blue in the face or until you're completely wore out. He said, but I know what you're like. I know what people are generally like. They don't want to spend a lot of time and effort to figure out what they really should do in their life. Did you stop and think about that for a minute? You know, what are you talking about, Pastor? We don't want to find out what we should do in our life. Most people are too busy doing fun stuff to find out what they really should be doing, to see what really matters in life, to see what really is going to pay off. And so he's saying here, let me draw you a conclusion. And that's why I say, this is good. I was asking some people a while back, when you read a book, don't you like, how many of you jump ahead and read the ending before you finish the book? Oh no, that would ruin it for me. How many of you, that would ruin it for you? Okay, I just wanted to see that. How many of you would like to jump to the end and see what's going to happen? All right, so there we have some of those. Well, he's saying here, let me just wrap it all up for you. Okay, I could write books all day long or forever. You could sit and study and study and study, but here's the conclusion. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the, note here, the whole duty of man. If you fear God and keep His commandments, you've done it. That's it. Now that makes walking a Christian life simple. Two things. Fear God and keep His commandments. Easy. And then it goes on. But He says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So God's going to, at the end of our life, we have to stand before our Maker. Remember, that used to be preached all the time. Are you ready to meet your Maker? You know what that sounds like? It almost sounds like I'm accountable to somebody. We are. We are accountable to God. That's why nobody wants to admit that there is a God. You know, they even believe in, it's becoming more popular for, in creation. They're saying there's opposite of evolution. Well, I'm going to move on. I was going to say they don't want to use the word creation anymore because then they have to say there's a creator. Intelligent design. That's it. They say there's intelligent design. Forgive me, my brain is really tired, still jet lag. But intelligent design. What we're trying to do is say that, yes, we realize that there's obviously design in the world around us, but we don't want to attribute that to a God, because if we attribute it to a creator God, that means we're accountable to Him. He made us. And people don't want to be accountable. You know, how many of you would like it if your car was as accountable to you as you are to your maker? You know, you come to the corner and you turn right so you can go home, and says, I want to go left, and your car goes left. You know, you get rid of that car in a hurry. You say, that reminds me of a car I had back in, you know, yeah, I got rid of that thing. And when it wanted to run, it ran. When it didn't want to run, it wouldn't. You know what? I wonder what God thinks of His creation and people when He has created us and has a job for us, and we only do it part-time. But anyway, so redeeming the time. This word redeem is a biblical term. And I don't want to get sidetracked anymore, so I'm going to try to stay focused just to my notes. But redeem means to buy back or to free from distress or harm. To buy back. What's it mean to buy back? If I got to buy something back, that means I used to have it, but I don't anymore. Right? If you have to buy something back, I owned it, but I don't anymore. And it also means to free from distress or harm. So if I'm buying back time, or I'm freeing my time from harm or distress. That sounds so funny. But God says to redeem the time. So I'm thinking of, why did God use such a funny term when He's talking about time? God doesn't make mistakes in English. Or in, He didn't write it in English, but it was interpreted. But God doesn't make mistakes in His speech. He means what He says and says what He means. So if He used the word, He must have a reason for using that word. And so I study words, and I want to know why. Well, as I thought about it, you know what? We are in danger of losing our time. Our time is in jeopardy of being wasted. And so, matter of fact, a lot of times we have given our time up to something that we shouldn't have, and we need to get it back. You may have made commitments to something that is worthless in the scope of eternity. And maybe you need to refocus and get that time back and use it for something very valuable, something that will last for eternity. And that's what God is saying here. You, as people, we frivolously throw away time, but we only have so much of it. You realize that your time is your most valuable commodity. And when you give a piece of your time, you're giving a piece of the rest of your life. So we got to think about that a little more seriously. So, redeeming the time. If you're taking notes, I only have a couple today. The main point is don't be guilty of living a wasted life. In other words, next point, don't put off until tomorrow the things that you could do today. And I was a master at this, putting things off. Matter of fact, my wife might even say I still am. But I've come a long ways, really. And, you know, I go like, well, I better get this over with. And, right? This is a job that needs to be done, so let's just do it. I'm one of the kind of people now that eats the vegetables first. You know, some people eat dessert first because life is short. You know, they don't want to miss out. But after I eat the dessert, I've got veggies to finish up with. And I don't like the veggie taste left in my mouth. Am I being bad for kids? They say, Pastor doesn't like veggies. I do like some vegetables, but I have learned this, that when they're on your plate and they're good for you, right? Isn't that what your mother said? Eat your vegetables, are good for you. They are. So what, I would eat them first, and then I can eat the rest of my meal and enjoy it, right? And so there's things that we need to do in life. Some are enjoyable, and some are not. But they all need to be done, and we need to redeem the time. Don't be putting off until tomorrow that which you can do today. In other words, be a person. Now, this is big. Be a person that's mature enough to see the whole picture. Who wastes the most time? You say, well, kids, they might waste a lot of time, right? But you know what? When they are playing, they're learning a lot of things, too. And they're establishing balance and coordination and learning about this world. When's the last time you stopped and enjoyed the things that God has made? You know, I remember when I was a child, I would go over and I'd pick flowers. You know, my mom would grow flowers, and you don't pick those. But there were some that would grow wild, like snapdragons. I like snapdragons, don't you? You guys know what snapdragons are, right? That's when you pick them off and you go, and you chase your sister around to them. Did I say that? But anyway, you'd open them up and their mouths would open really big and wide. And then they make giant ones now. They didn't have those. Well, they probably did, but I never saw them as a kid. And I would just look at the wonders of the creation around me. Now I can't even see the detail. But, you know, you could see that. And it was just, it was pleasant. And it was a joy to look at the things around you. And remember in Ecclesiastes and our past studies, that's what God said. He has created this world for us to enjoy, and sin has corrupted it. But yet He still wants us to take time to enjoy what He has given us. Hey, work a good day's work. Enjoy a good night's sleep. Enjoy the fruit of your labor. And now we're even going on a little bit more, but see the whole picture in life and serve God with it. Enjoy serving God in your youth. Remember, you don't stay young forever. Can anybody attest to that here? You don't stay young forever. Remember when you could just lift whatever you wanted to and just do whatever you wanted to? And when I was a kid, I could run until I couldn't run anymore. I wait a couple seconds and run again. Today, I can run almost until I can't run anymore, and then I can hurt for a long time. And a couple seconds doesn't fix things. You know, God gave us youth, but expected us to use it. And I don't know how many people I've known that have gotten older and said, I wished I had my life to live over again. If I had my life to live over again, I sure would do it differently. You know what that tells me? That tells me that they weren't satisfied with what they did in their life. And God is trying to challenge us here. Whatever your age you are, don't let any more opportunities pass you by. Serve God now, and also realizing that benefits are there. So I found some practical realities of old age. And they're kind of humorous, but they're also true. So that might take some of the humor out. But here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through verse 7, Solomon, in very, picturesque speech, kind of defines what old age is like. Let's take a look at it here. In verse 1, we're going to see some things. It says, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Has there come a time in people's life when their health has come to a point to where, you know, life is really hard? And there's not so much of an enjoyment anymore. I met a lot of people in this position. And so, you know, the old age brings on the fact of declining health. Our strength starts to fade. The aches and pains make life a challenge. And sometimes we can start missing out on all the joy. He also goes on to say that there comes a time when the challenge of a new day is no longer exciting. You know, when I was young, you'd get up and you'd stretch. And I'm scared to stretch with this microphone. I'm always hooking it. But, a new day. Breathe in that air. A challenge. Boy, I'm ready to go to work. As we get older, we get up and we go, a new day. What a challenge ahead. Right? So as we get older, things aren't the same anymore. It comes a time, verse 2, the time comes when feeling good becomes a rarity. In other words, you're feeling poorly more often than you're feeling well. Our strength and our stability starts to wane. Now, what's that mean? In other words, my arms, my hands, my legs aren't quite as strong as they used to be. Now I maybe even start to shake. I start to have a harder time straightening up. You know, it used to be you could do one of those pretzel things. You know, as a kid, I could get down and just about put my foot behind my head and then put it back down and jump right up. If I put my foot behind my head today, I'd break. And it doesn't jump right back up. My body isn't as limber as it used to be. Why did he put all these things here? Well, read it. It says, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In other words, you know what? The challenge of life, the sun coming up in the morning, just maybe isn't as exciting for you. I mean, he puts it in very picturesque form here. But in verse 3 it said here, in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble. In other words, how you take care of yourself. You just don't have the strength to do it. Some people, we come to a point where we have to have someone else take care of us. And most of the people I know in that situation were very independent and they helped other people. And it's a very hard transition in life when someone else has to take care of you. You know what I'm talking about. So old age isn't as golden as some people say, right? And as we go on, it says, the strong men shall bow themselves. In other words, you walk with a humped over back. You ever see how as we get older, we start to stoop? It says, the grinders cease because they are few. Now, what are your grinders? Who can tell me what that one is? Come on, that's an easy one. Your teeth. Your grinders. They become few. In other words, they're starting to leave us, and the ones we got left are getting wore out. And they do wear out, don't they? And so he says, they're few. And those that look out the windows be darkened. In other words, you can't see like you used to. I remember as a kid, before I was a teenager, my dad was a farmer, of course, and he would be working on the equipment. And sometimes he'd pull out a bearing, you know, the bearings would go bad. And so you'd try to clean them off, and there'd be a number stamped into that bearing. And if you could read that bearing number, you could find the right part, save a lot of time trying to measure and get the right thing. And so he'd be sitting there trying to get it, and they're going like, oh, where's some light? Let me get some more light. I'm going, oh, I'll give that here. I can read it. And I go, and I'd read it right off. And I thought I was so smart. He says, you keep being smart like that, someday you'll be like me. Now when I get my bearing out, I go like, now where's the light? Matter of fact, even a light sometimes not good enough. I got to get a bright light. Why? Because our eyes are going dim. You see, Solomon knew exactly what happened. He was old when he wrote this. He said, you know what? I tried everything the world had to offer and I wasted my life. He did some things for the Lord, but he could have done a lot more. And he's looking back and he's saying, I'll give you a conclusion. I don't make you read 10 million books. I'll just tell you up front here. He says, let's hear the whole conclusion. Fear God. Keep His commandments. That's where it's at. And he says, but you're going to get old to where you're going to be stooped over. You're not going to be strong anymore. He says, your teeth are going to wear out. Your eyesight's going to fail you. He goes on, he says, the door shall be shut in the streets. In other words, you're not going to be able to go out like you used to. You used to be able to do whatever you wanted. Whenever you wanted to, you just went. You know, you could take your bike, you could walk, you could run, you could do anything. But now, you have to plan these things, and we're weaker. It says, and when the sound of the grinding is low. That's interesting. As we get older, sometimes we start to lose the appetite. And it says, and shall rise up at the voice of a bird. Now, this is interesting. Because here, you know, you're trying to get some sleep. And I guess as we get older, it's harder to get the sleep we need. Some people have that problem. And so, we finally get to sleep, and some bird chirps. Up we are at the sound of a bird, right? You're like, oh, man, I can't get back to sleep. Oh. But you know what? Then, even though we heard this little bird chirp and it woke us up, when we try to hear a concert or something we really want to hear, it says our ears are dim. We can't hear it. And that's what it says here in the next verse. It says, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. So the things you want to hear, you can't hear. But when you want to sleep, the simplest things are waking, you can't get your sleep. Things just aren't like they were when you were younger. You ever notice how a kid, when they want to sleep, they just fall asleep right there? And then as we go on, verse 5, it says, and when they shall be afraid of that which is high. We got to be careful. We might fall. Don't bounce like we used to. You know? We go on. And the fear shall be in the way. In other words, we have more anxiety, more things to worry about because, you know what? Changes in situations affect us a whole lot more. Isn't this interesting? Did you ever read this in Ecclesiastes before, this picture of old age? Isn't that neat how that's all listed in there? And he goes on to say here, the almond tree shall flourish. I like that one. I mentioned that in the adult Sunday school class. What's the almond tree flourish mean? Well, I looked it up on the internet, and they showed these almond trees, and most of them are white. There's a few of different colors, but most of them are white. And when they go in the bloom, you got this great big old white tree, and it reminds me of gray hair. And then what happens? If it all falls out. And he's just saying, like, you know, the old hair changes. Not like it used to be either. And as we go on here, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. In other words, simple things worry us. Our desires shall fail. In other words, the loss of desire maybe even to live. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the street. It seems like as we get older, all of our friends are passing away. You know, and we see all these funerals, and you know what? We realize pretty soon it's going to be my turn. So there's a whole change of perspective on life. I don't have a whole lot of time left. And at verse 6 it says, or the silver cord be loosed. In other words, the band between the soul and the body You know, we're about to depart. It says here, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. This is talking about the water of life. You know, when we're young, it just seems like we're full of life. You get sick and you bound right back. But as you get older, every time that you're sick or whatever, you notice how much longer it takes to heal. And as we get older and closer to the end of our days, pretty soon it just seems like it's a struggle even to get healthy. And then pretty soon, it's like we try to bring more water of life to us, but the bowl is broke. And so it's leaking. But even as we try to get more from the source, from the pump, from the cistern, it doesn't work anymore. There's just no more to draw from. And it just seems like the end is near. You're going like, wow, that's pretty serious, yes? It says, verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Life is a gift from God. You can ignore Him and live your life and waste your life, or else you can acknowledge that there is a Creator who loves you and gave you life to use for a special purpose and end up gaining much value from it. And that's what it means to redeem your time. It's a gift from God. Use it wisely. Who needs to worry about this? Well, according to this pastor, the old people do. No, it's too late. He's saying we need to be considered with this when. When we're young. Now, there are that word. Now means what? Right now, right away. And I use the same words in the definitions too. I like to do that. As we go on, live your life to its fullest potential. Some practical purpose to life. Well, he said here in verse 13 and 14, fear God and keep His commandments. And I want to tell you some verses here about God's plan for your life. You say, God has a plan for my life? Yes, He does. And it's a good one, by the way. The only reason that most people don't know that God has a plan for life is because they're blowing it on their plans. How many of you know what's going to happen tomorrow? How many of you realize that God knows what's happening tomorrow? So do you suppose His plans could include tomorrow? Now, I know we've mentioned this before, but in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So if I'm looking to the Lord, He's going to lead me in the way that's most profitable. In Matthew chapter 6:33, a verse that I picked for my life verse, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The things that everybody's spending their life on. I got another verse, Romans 8:28. How many of you know Romans 8:28? You go, oh yes, Pastor, that's the verse for when life is going bad. That's also a verse for when life is going good. It says, and we know that all things work together for what? For good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That means a plan. Isn't that neat? I don't think that people really stop and think that God has a plan for their life. And so I found this passage in Psalm chapter 103. If you want to turn there with me, I think you would get a blessing from it. But Psalm 103, and I'm going to read verses 8 through 22. And now that's a lot of verses, but I'm going to let the Bible speak to you today about what our God is like. Because I have a lot of people tell me that God is only a mean, judgmental God who wants to take all the fun out of your life. That's not so. So, it says here, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. That doesn't sound like the God that the devil likes to paint. No, this is a loving God. He says, He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. In other words, you're living right now in a time of mercy. And God's being very gracious because He still wants you to pick what's best, and He's trying to lead you along for what's best in your life. Now, He says, He hath not dealt with us after our sin. Now, isn't that neat? He hasn't given us what we deserve, the punishment we deserve for rejecting Him. How many of you, if you did something very gracious for someone, you gave them a very expensive gift, and they spit on it and spit on you, how many of you would still want them to have that gift? But you know what? God gave His Son. He gave His life for us, and even though people spit on Him and reject that gift, He still keeps offering. That's what He's saying here. He hath not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. If you've given your sin over to God, where are your sins? Now, I know what happens when people forgive. And this is why we have historical arguments in our homes. Didn't you mean hysterical? Well, yeah, and historical. Because, you know, we do something to each other and we offend each other. And maybe we ask forgiveness, maybe we don't, and it kind of gets shoved under the rug as time goes on. But guess what happens when we do something again? Boom! It all comes back up. Pretty soon we've got a whole closet full of grievances to bring back. Now, wouldn't you just love that if God, every time we ask God for forgiveness, He put it away until we did something else wrong and then He brought it all back? The Bible says He puts it as far as the east is from the west. Now, you go ahead and you measure how far it is from the east pole to the west pole, and you know how far our sins. In other words, you continue going east and you'll never get to west. He's never bringing your sins back once He forgives them. All right, so let's move along. For He knoweth. Why does He do it? It says, verse 13, like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him, for He knoweth our frame, and remembers that we are dust. Isn't that good? Now, we've had plenty of dust the last few days. I really am not too impressed with all this dust. But that's about all I am. I'm just dust. But you know what? God remembers that. How many of you parents hate your children when they make mistakes? Shame on you. No, we don't, do we? We've got a child and we're training them and they're learning to ride a bike. And they put them on the bike and we say, there you go. And you give them a push and off they go pedaling the first time. They pedal around, they come swinging back by you and they hit the brake and jump off. Wow, that's fun. That's not the way we learned to learn bike. I remember running along the side, trying to hold them up. And finally, they did learn to stay up, and they'd run smack dab into something, right? Because they didn't know how to turn. And I remember that horrifying experience. First, it was elation that I'm actually pedaling and going, and then all of a sudden, how do you turn? And there came the gas pumps. Boom! You know? But see, we pity our children. We understand that they don't know any different yet. And God pities us, and He understands that we have a lot of things to learn, and so He wants us to use our time following Him, and He'll do great things for us. So God remembers we're dust. So serve God today, because remember, your life is limited. If I take you over real quickly to James chapter 4, you won't mind. Oh, let me finish what I was reading here. I better do that. It says, He knoweth our frame that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall be known no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting unto them that fear Him. So what he's saying is our life is short. Redeem the time. God's being merciful to you. Enjoy that, and live in His blessings, and experience the joys. But let me take you to James. James chapter 4. I'm sorry. James 4. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17 says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go in such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. So what he's saying is here, hey, pay attention for a minute. Come on now, listen to what I have to say. Now, that's how we have to talk to people sometime, right? Because we're so busy, we don't have time to really stop and listen. You know, have you ever noticed that, wives, how your husband's doing something and you're talking away to him, they're going, and then you ask them a question that you know they wouldn't agree to, and they go, and you go like, I gotcha. He's so busy to really concentrate. So he says, come on now. What does he have to say? Pay attention. You're so wrapped up in your life. That's what he said back in Ecclesiastes, and now here we are in the New Testament, and James is just point blank. I like James, and anybody that wants to just be told like it is should read James. He doesn't have to beat around the bush. And he's just saying this, look, life is short. Life is very short. I got to get your attention because you're so caught up in all the things of this world, you're wasting it. And that's what redeeming the time is all about. And he so says here, go to now, ye that say tomorrow, we will do, go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. How many have plans like that? A lot of people. I'm going to start this business over here. We're going to be in Atlanta for a year. Then we're going to go over here and, you know, I'm going to get rich. But then he goes on to say, he says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, let alone a year from now. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then what? It vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So what is the change in focus? Now my life is looking to God. and to His plan for it. But now you rejoice in your boasting, and all such rejoicing is evil. What do you mean? We brag. Doesn't that feel good to tell people what you're going to do? I used to love to do that as a young person. Man, I've got great plans. I'm going to buy this place, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and this is going to be really spectacular. We're going to put this over here, and this is going to be here. And 15 years later, those plans are still neat, but it's not there. How many of you can relate with me? And God says, you know, that boasting is evil because you don't know what you're going to do tomorrow, and you got all these plans. Maybe you should ask God what His plan is. And He says here in verse 17, He says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In other words, God's saying, I got a plan for you, and if you know what it is, you need to do it. Interesting, isn't it? Why does God say that? Well, He says failure to do things now is a sin because you're not guaranteed of tomorrow. If you know what God wants you to do, go ahead and do it. And then lastly, don't be guilty of a double life. All right? First thing we saw, God has a plan for your life. Let's do it now. Don't be guilty, though, of a double life. And what do you mean by that? Well, many times we feel it doesn't matter how we live our lives. I can live my life for whatever, and the only person I'm going to hurt out of this is me. But let me take you to Ephesians chapter 5, and I've got enough time, and I'm going to stay right in my time schedule, and I'm not going to take that hour. But Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 17, it's challenging us here that God has a plan for us. Let me read it. It says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Are we God's children? Okay, so a child follows their father. All right. It says, and walk in love, how? As Christ also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Is there some things here that God said we shouldn't have in our lives? Is that what your Bible says? That's what mine says. What God is saying is there some things that shouldn't be in a Christian life. And as we go on, it says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye the children of the Lord. Walk as children of light. So who cares how I live? So here, God cares how I live. Wasn't that clear? I mean, we can go on. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You know, God just wants us to have a clean life before Him that He can bless. And verse 14, it says, wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What's verse 16 say? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. In other words, what He's saying here is, you know what? The devil wants you to waste your life. But God, He wants you to live a different life. It's for your own good. So God cares how I live my life. And you know what? It should matter to me how I live my life. He's saying, can I challenge you young people to realize the difference? And realizing that serving God is worth it, do it now. Now, I want to close with one other person, or not really one other person, but another person group who cares or will care about how you live your life. Colossians chapter 4. And I'll close with this one. Colossians chapter 4, verses 1 through verse 6 says, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. What was Paul praying for and asking you to pray for? That he would be able to speak. How many of you ever get nervous about telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ? And I do. And so Paul did too. And he's saying, would you pray that I would have the words to say? Now, would Paul ever need that? But pray that I'll have the words and the opportunities to tell others about Jesus Christ. Now, let me read it again. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So he wanted to reach the gospel. That is one thing that will matter to your friends and the people around you. If you don't tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ today, who will? If you wait until tomorrow, your friends may no longer have the opportunity. Let me read 2 Corinthians 4, 3-5 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." So I challenge you this in conclusion. What is your life really being lived for? I could challenge you to do this. If you aren't exactly sure, well, say, "Pastor, I think it's all right." Go home and take out a sheet of paper and write down what you did with your time last week. And then go through that and see how much of it was really used for God and for spreading the gospel message to your lost friends. If there wasn't much of God in there, that time was probably wasted. And it's just God's trying to say, you know what, our time is short and we have a job here to do. And as we learned in the adult Sunday school class today, that as soon as our job here is done, God takes us to a better place. Remember, getting old here means aches and pains and forgetting things and not being able to do what we want to do. So use your youth to do that which counts for eternity. Well, let's go ahead and have a closing hymn of 396. This is an invitation time. So let's stand, turn to hymn number.